Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready? Program to inform you, to encourage you, and to challenge you, to be all you could be in Christ Jesus. I'm your host, Minister Joel Lewis, and thank you once again for tuning in to this program. We pray that you're being blessed. I pray that you tell someone about an internet program that talks about ministry, that's sharing the ministry with men and women all over this great country and around the world. You know, we have guests as far as Kenya, Africa. Man, can you imagine someone in Africa listening to this program just like you are at a different time? But yet it is timely. You know, it's right on time. Guess what? Someone listened to it in California at a different time, but it is timely. And guess what? Someone that listened to it in New York and in Florida. But I got to thinking that the word of God is no respect of person, regardless of where you are, regardless of what you're facing, the word of God is still available. And that's what this internet program is about. We're here to share the gospel with men and women of like passion. We're here to encourage other men and women to be about our Father business here. This show is sponsored by Granny's Place Ministry. Grand Place Ministry is a nonprofit ministry, 501c ministry, that's reaching out to meet the needs of our young men and women and their families at risk. Grand Place Ministry have adopted an apartment unit in the Dallas area called the Creekside Apartments. We go over there on the first, second, and the fourth Saturday of each month. The time is 11 to 1:30, and we teach them. We have courses that's embedded in that program over at Creekside Apartments there. One of them is a mentoring program, life skill courses, after-school program, tutoring, and also computer training program and computer literacy. We said a training because we teach you how to work on a computer, how to remove viruses, how to upgrade your system, and how to do various things, you know, allow you to be self-sufficient, allow you to be an entrepreneur, and who knows where those skills will take you. You know, of course, are available to the young and old, but we definitely want our people, the guard people, and the resident of that apartment unit to be empowered. Because, you know, everything that we do now is on the computer, you know, and so it's frustrating when you get on the computer that runs slow. It's frustrating when you get on the computer and certain programs doesn't work, certain devices only don't work. Just the CD drive or your USB port is damaged, or your keyboard is damaged, and some people are lost. But yet, if you know how to work on those things there, it'll allow you to go a little bit further in life. Who knows what job you may be missing out on, or what health event or program or health work network that you need to get to, that because of your computer's not working, that it hinders you for a while. I say hinder you, don't stop you. It hinders you. That's a good thing. You know, because we all face this thing. Well, sometimes they say, you know, it's trying to make you stop, but it don't. It just hinder you for a while. I have problems. I think we all have problems. So, but it hinders us only for a season. That season could be short or that season could be long. You choose you this day. Do you want to be in a long season or a short season? And I say that because as we run into little difficulties of life, we have to kind of say, okay, now what would you have me to do on this situation? So they're just sitting there, you know, meditating and just rehearsing what's going on. So, okay, let me see what else I could do with this. If God be for me, who could be against me? When this morning we and for a great time, we have a guest that's going to come on here, and because of the scheduling, and we were unable to contact our guest on a timely manner. We did talk to them earlier, and we left them some contact numbers to reach out to us, so we pray that they follow up on those numbers and that they will call in and share what's going on. We have a health fair coming up here, and Mr. Norris is the health fair director that's going to come up. They have an asthma awareness health fair that's going to be coming up next month. And he wanted to share that with us. He wanted to share the things that's associated with that health fair, and also encourage the neighborhoods and the neighborhood and the residents of that neighborhood to come on out. And it's a citywide event, so we pray that everything goes well on that event. We pray Mr. Norris get able to come on here and share that with us, what's going on. But until he comes on, we're going to play some excerpts from past shows here. Well, I guess we can have this health fair slash the best of. So we'll play some past shows and encourage you to be strong in the Lord. But we also wanted to talk to you about some things that we're involved in. This morning we are going over to one of the juvenile centers here in the Dallas area, and we're taking an orientation to go into the juvenile center. I already go into one center, but this is another center that asked me and the ministry team to come over to be a part of. So we're going to go over there, we're going to do the orientation, and then we're going to see what God does with us after that. And I like these orientations because it gives you an insight, and it lets you know about the do's and don'ts of different facilities. And also you get to meet other people that working in that environment and other people that wants to work alongside of you. And I tell everyone to, you know, you can be assured that what if we go in there, we have training, we have support. And so you're not just going in there alone. And that makes the transition a lot smoother. And we have men and women that comes on. They say, wow, I didn't know it was going to be like this. And I enjoy this, and I feel like I'm not alone. And that's what it's all about, not being alone. You know, Jesus told us, he said, hey, I would never, ever leave you alone or forsake you. And if he's willing to say that about us in the spiritual sense, surely in the earthly sense, he sent people to walk alongside us and do the same thing that we do. Just a couple of weeks ago, we had a young lady on here, Miss Allen, and she have a ministry team that said, no more violence. And we know that as we look around the landscape of Dallas or throughout the country here, we see that violence is running rampant, that people are taking matters into their own hand. But yet you have ministries that stands up and said, no more violence. They tell the young people to stop it. They tell the old people to stop it. And they tell everyone of like mind to join us to help stop the violence. And I got to thinking about what James 5:20 said, let them know by the arrows of their way that you can save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. And I got to think about if you let these young people know that, hey, you don't have to take matters into their own hands. If you let an old person know, an adult know that you don't have to take matters into their own hands. Imagine what sin that you could just stop right there. You arrested that sin right there. Because after they do that, after they take them out of their own hand, then they look back and say, oh, man, maybe I should have done it another way. Then they find themselves incarcerated, or they find themselves separated from their family and friends. And then they say, man, I wish that someone would have talked to me. I wish I would have thought this thing through. And so I want to thank the No More Violence Ministry with Miss Allen and her team for doing what they do. And there's a lot more people that's actually involved. And that's why I love about this ministry here, because they're reaching out to meet the hearts, to reach the mindset and the hearts of men and women. Brother Raul over at the Street Ministry in Tent City in Dallas here, he goes down there on a weekly basis, him and his ministry team, and I go down there with them occasionally, and they minister to our men and women that's living under the bridge there. And that's a dangerous area there, only because they're exposed to the environment, they're exposed to their own mindset. You know, they do what's right in their own mind. but yet they realize that God is able, and people come down there to tell them that is there anything too hard for God? And I love that. I love that ministry team, and I love that ministry philosophy. It suggests do unto others that you would have them to do unto you. And occasionally men and women are being raised up out of that situation, and they have been able to be restored with their families, and they get a home, and they get a place to stay, and they get into recovery programs, and they get into therapy or whatever they need. And but yet they know that they need the gospel, and that's the building block of being successful. It's the gospel. Lay the foundation, and someone else can come and build on it. So thank you, Brother Raul, for what you're doing, you and that ministry team. And also, we meet a group of men once a week. I go over there whenever I can. It's a Christian Pool Association with Brother Bobby and Tim and some more guys over there, and they are just sharing life experience over a pool table. They talking about how God is able, and they encourage other men to be involved in it. Also encouraging young men to be involved in it, because let's face it, that our young men, they need some guys. They need to see guys that went out and messed up, but yet they come back and they say, "Hey, you don't have to do it like me, or you can be better than what I done." You know, because we all fall short and mess up on something. So we encourage you to be involved in our Father business. And I ask you to go to our website and look over the archive section. That's blogtalkradio.com/Granny Plays. And you see the archive section. We have quite a large archive section that's associated with this show that comes on Saturday morning. But we're not the only show that's on that Blog Talk Network associated with Granny's Play. We have my sister, my friend, which is hosted by LaShondra Lewis and Beverly Beasley, that comes on every Monday from 8 to 9. It talks about women's issues, and that's a powerful show. And then we have an archive show that comes on Wednesday night with a Kingdom Call, which was hosted by Elder Linda Jordan. She's unavailable right now, but the message still goes on. So on Wednesday nights, you can hear a Kingdom Call. It's a prayer ministry. And, you know, prayer is always right. Prayer is always timely. Prayer never gets old. So I encourage you to tune into that program and listen to the women sharing they take on the gospel and how they praying one for another. And then on Thursday night, we have We Are Survival by a Wonder. You know, it's a domestic violence program, and she definitely have a passion and a heart for it. She have great guests each and every week. So we encourage you to call in. To call in and also listen in. On all these programs, you can call in. The call-in number is 310-982-4126. Again, that call-in number is 310-982-4126. You too can call into this program and all of the programs that's on the Give a Nice for Granny's Place Ministry. And on Thursday nights, we got We Are Survival with Wonder. Then on Friday nights, we have Street Talk. And Street Talk is a ministry geared up toward young adults, and they talk about things that they are facing some things I never think about. But they're facing those things, and they have the boldness to talk about it. And guess what? They're not alone. Other men and women feel that same way, too. So it's a program where they come on there and they can share some things that they're dealing with, and also give some correct information on how to deal with that situation. And so, you know, that's powerful. You know, you can talk about something, but what can I do after this here, after everything has been said and done? What do I need to do? I don't know. I can tell you I have a financial problem, but how can I get out of this? I can tell you about I'm struggling in my relationship, but what do I need to do to correct these things? And that's what these programs are all about. Not only discussing these issues, but also giving us solutions. And I love that solution. You know, I'm a technical-minded person here. You know, I know things go wrong, but what can I do to fix it? Anybody feel that way? What can you do to fix it? You know? And so, we ask you to tune into that program and check it out. And please be involved in the life of someone. We need some volunteers over at the Creekside Apartment for Granny Place Ministry. Please reach out to us. You can go to our website. That's grannyplaceministry.org, and you can sign up to our volunteer site there, and then someone to contact you, and we'd love to have you to come over and be a part of what we're doing. You can call the number here, 214-505-6526, and let your request be known. Again, that number is 214 505-652-6. And now we're going to play a part of a program that had been aired some time ago. This is one of Mr. Norris was doing as his asthma awareness program. So we're going to play part of that and then we're going to reach out to him once again, and hopefully he'll call in. And when he call in, another guest call in, we'll just stop what we're doing and we'll just answer that caller. Amen. But that caller number again is 310-982-4126. And Mr. Norris is going to give us some insight on asthma and how asthma is a disease that affects the young and old. Asthma is a treatable disease. I'm saying it's a treatable disease. I'm not a physician, so I can't say too much about it, but it is a treatable disease, and it's triggered by different things, you know, during the season, dust, allergies or whatever it may be, but he'll give us more insight on that. And he came on here about a year ago, and they shared some information with us. And now they're doing their health fair, and this year it's even bigger and better. So he reached out to me and said, hey, I'd like to get on there and share what we're doing this year. And guess what? And we made that happen. And so anytime that you have something coming up, please give us a call at our studio number, 310-982-4126. Reach out and tell us what's going on, and we'll make that happen. Amen. And today we're going over to Granny Place Ministry. Is going over to the Senior Citizen Living Facility. It's located in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and we're taking our young men and women over there. They're going to sing for the residents over there, and we're taking another young lady to do a silent praise, where she do a silent praise performance over there. And so what we're attempting to do in that ministry, put a smile on the face of our senior citizens, and then we'll share the gospel with them. But most of all, we're just encouraging them to be strong in the Lord, encouraging them that the Lord had forgot about them, encouraging them that they are still valuable and useful. Because when I talk to them, I'm being encouraged and knowing that as in the twilight of their life, they still have that smile on their face. You know, I know young people that's not smiling. I know people that's mad, but these elderly, they just smile and they happy. Because they feel like they done all they could do. And now they're just looking back and just they're encouraging the younger generation. I think so much of Hebrews said we've been surrounded by such a greater cloud of witnesses. That's Hebrews 12, that we too can lay down every weight and sin that so easily entangle us. I got thinking about our senior citizens. As I look at them, man, they're cheering us on. They're encouraging us to be strong in the Lord. They say, yes, I may have messed up. Yes, I may have mismanaged some things, but I'm still holding on. Is anybody out there still holding on? Anybody out there still holding on for Jesus? And I said that there because it says to encourage you to keep doing what you do for the Lord. And at this time here, we're going to have a portion of the show from Mr. Norris and his ministry team is going to come on here and share some things. And we're going to reach out to him and see can we get him to come on and give us an update on what's going on right now. So the next voice you'll hear is Mr. Norris regarding his health fair event dealing with asthma. God bless you. Enjoy the program.
And I began to interview people, just talk to them. And I realized a lot of these beautiful, great women of God were in relationships that just was not healthy for them. And they didn't seem to see a way out of these relationships. As I spoke with them, I realized that there was a common thread, which was there was a need for more educational skills, job skills.
Yes.
And because they've been in this situation for too long, the self-esteem was actually they had issues with self-esteem. So I went before the Lord and asked God, what can we do about this? So as I began to pray and seek the Lord, we began to provide outreaches, food, clothing. On a weekly basis, we'll go out, meet with these women and their children, provide them with food and clothing. And with that, God gave me the burden to establish an employment agency. which is called Rock Haven Staffing Solutions. So while in Atlanta, Georgia, I established the staffing agency, which was actually a way to help these ladies get more job skills and training and eventually job placement. So we began to do that, and we began to see some results. Of course, eventually, my time with the church that sent me there was over with. So I relocated back to Dallas. I felt God was telling me to come back home to Dallas. So when we came back to Dallas, we continued to do the work with the staffing agencies. And of course, I began to work with another church. It's a Methodist church, and they provide food for the homeless. So every week, every Saturday morning, we'll go downtown and we'll feed homeless people, provide them with sandwiches and tracts. And actually, a couple of times I found myself ministering deliverance to people on the street in downtown Dallas, because my background is in deliverance ministry. We continued to do that. And then after a while, we reestablished the staffing agency. And, of course, the ministry began. But I think it was in 2012 that the Lord gave me a vision for the refugee ministry. So after a while, when I came back to Dallas, my mother passed away, so I went home to Nigeria. I was gone for about 2 months. When I came back from Nigeria, this time I was in Bible school. I was at Covenant Training Institute, CTI, because I'm a member of Covenant Church. I was in my second year Bible school. With the passing of my mother and everything, I just could not continue. I struggled with depression. I could not continue with it. But I knew I had to finish my school of ministry program. But my professors were so kind. They allowed me to just take it easy and get it done. Well, to God be the glory, I was able to graduate with the entire graduating school. So with me struggling with depression, I just didn't know how to handle the entire grief situation. My mom passing away, and having been through a divorce. Life was just really, really different for me. So I had to put the staffing agency on hold for a minute and just focused on finishing Bible school. Of course, I now had a job. I was working with MHMR. I was working with adults with mental illness. I did that for about 5 years. And even while I did that, I saw myself, I saw it as a ministry. Because as I worked with adults with mental illness, I realized that I found that a lot of the adults that I was working with were battling depression, different things like that. And whenever they were scheduled to come to the clinic to come see us as case managers, I would have adults who just couldn't come out of their rooms. They would sit in their rooms and just really going through. So I felt the Lord gave me an idea on how to minister to these adults. So what I'll have them do is I would have them just do have them come out to see me once a week. I'll give them very, very, very simple tasks. I'll give them a challenge. If you can just come out, if you promise me that you can come out to see me every week for a month without missing your appointment, we'll have a celebration. So every Wednesday, I'll gather all the adults on my caseload, which are about 20 adults on my caseload, and we will celebrate someone's birthday. What I'll do is I'll provide them with food, provide them with just things, and I will have them pray. I was in a clinic, but it was my group, and I felt I was there to minister, not just to collect a paycheck. So every Wednesday we're meeting out in a group, we'll hold hands, we'll pray. After a while, I began to ask them to bring in something to share. I'll ask them, well, since you get food stamps, bring a soda. Since you get food stamps, bring a candy, bring a bag of chips. Do something to share with the group. And as we began to break bread at my job with these adults, I saw them begin to blossom. I saw them begin to share things in their heart that they wouldn't share with anybody. And I encourage them all to make sure they took care of themselves. And my thing was, you're already on a case, someone who was collecting food stamps and government program, I would encourage them, get a job. Get a job skill. Go to Workforce Commission. Get some training. Get your housing. Because all of these resources are available to you. Make the best out of it. I'll never forget one client asked her best friend to come in to transfer from Fort Worth. She said, Miss Ogie is for real. She will help you. So this client transferred her case from Fort Worth to our clinic in Dallas. That was what I did. And because I did this every Wednesday, none of my clients stopped. They kept coming. And I remember when I went to Nigeria for my mother's funeral, my clients would not show up. They would call the clinic, is Miss Ogie back? They would not, because they felt I was good for too long, they would not show up until I came back. Of course, my director wasn't too happy about that. She felt... I'm sorry?
I like that right there. You know, Miss Ogie, you said some things that's really dear to my heart, how we have to empower men and women, not only just feeding them and sharing the gospel, but we also got to present to them life skills, some things that they could use. You know, as we do ministry, you know, ministry is about building people up. And not, then after you restore it, you to go back out and help someone else. And you know, and I'm very aware of those things there, because we don't want to disable anybody or enable anybody. And I like what you said. You got a one. I was looking at your website here, said one-stop ministry, one-stop shop. There, tell us something about that, because you just hit on that a while ago. But I want people to know that, you know, we do ministry. Sometimes people say, well, you just want to feed and clothe. No, it's more to ministry than that. You're talking about the whole person.
Yes. Well, the vision for Rock Haven Ministry is to be a one-stop shop. What we want to do is to be able to minister to the whole person, spiritual aspect, the physical, and your mental aspect. We believe that it takes all of that for you to be the whole person that God has created, with nothing missing, nothing broken. And we are open to every and anyone, refugee, immigrant, and everyone that comes to our facility. We'd like to be able to minister to you. Providing food, of course, the basic needs, because we want you to eat. When Jesus Christ was here on earth, each time after praying and preaching the gospel to the people, to ministering to them, we'll have them sit down and eat. Because food is important. And I remember in the Bible when it came to Simon Peter, he asked him, do you love me? You know I do, Lord. Feed my people, feed my disciples, feed my land. So we believe in feeding your physical food. Now, we know that the emotional things, people go through traumas and emotional things that need to be addressed. I am a certified Christian counselor and a coach. We want to minister to you mentally, of course with clothing. And then, of course, we want to be able to empower you to move on and out of that circle of poverty, of whatever was going on. We provide you with job training, job skills, job placement, and ongoing job coaching. That's what we're all about.
And yeah, you know, I'm looking at your website here. It's a beautiful site, and I encourage everyone to go out and visit the site. And I want you to give us some contact numbers before we get off the air here. And I see that you touched on some things that's on your website about coaching and counseling, spiritual guidance and health and wellness events. and things of that nature. You're talking about the whole man, not just a spiritual man, but the whole entire man. Now, if someone would like to be a part of your ministry, or just to come out and just be a volunteer, what are some of the steps that they can do, and how can they get in touch with you?
Well, we'll make it easy for you to come in and volunteer. Our website is www.rockhavennetwork.org. And my phone number is 972-201-7668. You can call that number, and I will personally answer the phone.
And I'll talk to you. Now, I tell you what, Miss Oakley, now tell us now, how do you manage to manage all these things? Because you have a family, you have your own personal interests and stuff, but yet you keep making yourself available to be a servant for the kingdom. Now, how do you manage to do that? Because sometimes people say, I just don't have the time. I don't know if I can manage these things. What are some of the things, how do you manage to work things out and still be about our Father's business?
First of all, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, okay? But there's one thing that God has given me, and it's I have a lot of virtual volunteers that work with me. I have interns all over the states, because with our staffing agency, I realize that I will need people to do other things that I'm not able to, because I want to be able to meet, talk to people. I have virtual interns. Right now, we have a student from University of Phoenix who is working with us in our human resource department. And by the time she's done with the program, she will be getting college credits through Rock Haven Staffing Solutions. We have interns working virtually on the back end to make everything look good. But as far as the human touch, that's where we are. We have people who are ready to help us coach people. We have people who are counselors that want to help us out. But whatever we are called to do, I believe strongly that when God gives you a vision, He gives you the provision. And God has done that so well for us. He has given us provisions to do whatever we are called to do. And we're all about taking care of God's people.
Oh, that is so true. That is so true. You know, as you are sharing this information, I have a sense that God is using you and your ministry mightily. And I like what you said about having volunteers, because sometimes we think that we got to do it all ourselves. But I see that God has brought other men and women into your life, into the ministry, with the same passion to serve, to be a servant. And that is so true, because a lot of times we don't have to go out and reinvent nothing. The ministry is already there. If you want some tie, you don't have to go and make your own tie. You just go place and buy you some tie. And that's the way ministry ought to be. You know, sometimes people say, I want to start this. No, we want to be a part of something. And if God be for you, he'll elevate you in the midst of things.
Exactly.
And sometimes people say, I need to be the head. No, you just need to be a servant. And if so be it, God will raise you up to be the head or start another ministry. And I like what you do. Now, tell us something now. Give us a testimony of how God has changed the lives of somebody that's been in the ministry, and now they're a part of the ministry, or they're going on off and living a better life because of they encounter with you and God.
Oh, gosh, where do I start from?
I know that's so, but it's always good to hear those things.
Yeah. You know, there are a lot of people that God has actually allowed us to impact. Like I was saying, even when I had a job, and this ministry was not established, I had a chance to meet with a lot of people. I saw a young lady. Can I tell you, I'm from Nigeria, I have an accent. This lady was from Nigeria. I mean, she came to the clinic to get some assistance because she was going through some emotional problems. She was a diabetic. She was diabetic. Her daughter was a diabetic. And things were really, really bad for them. So one of my coworkers actually pointed her to me, was like, go to that room, knock on that door. That lady over there will help you. She came, as I began to interview her, I saw that she had, this woman is a beautiful woman, but she's had a lot of, just a lot of situations going on, traumas, she's been stabbed, been through divorce on three different times, been stabbed by a previous ex-husband, daughter was just going through, so we began to work little by little, little by little. First of all, we began to just pray with them every day. Just come in the phone, we'll pray with them. And then we began to talk to them about how to eat, change your eating habit. With that, we began to just work with them on just self-image. How do you dress? How do you go out? And eventually, in the course of my working with her, I want to say within a year, we saw where she got off of government program. There's nothing wrong with that, because that has its place. She left that off, got a job through our agency, and eventually we had to move them out of the neighborhood where they were living, because it wasn't a very safe neighborhood. That's one. I mean, I had a young man that we were working with also. He wasn't a refugee, because I mean, even though our ministry is focused on working with refugees, we are open to whoever comes out for assistance. We're ready to help. This young man came out, didn't have a place to go. He was staying with his girlfriend, and things didn't work out, and they had a falling out and all of that. So we began to talk to him through coaching, through counseling, of course, with food and all of that. And eventually we sent him out to get a job through Tyson Food somewhere in the South Dallas. Right now this young man is doing well, got a good steady paying job, and he's moved on. It's on and on and on like that. I was in the library a couple of months ago, just a regular Dallas Public Library. I had my laptop to do some work, but my laptop would not work. So I left there to go just to use the library's computer. And as I sat there, a young man began to talk to himself, and I knew that something was not right. As a matter of fact, there's some stories that I'm going to put out in my book. I am writing a book, and I can tell you the title of the book because I'm almost done with it. It's called Hope Encounters. Okay, Hope Encounters actually is full of real life stories of people going through, but of course we've changed the name and situation just to protect the real people, but it's real who have gone to the place of oppression and depression and suicide, who had thought that all was over with, but God had come in to shine His light on them, and we've seen and they've seen hope. They found hope in Christ, and they've turned the corner and done better. So as soon as this book gets published, I would make sure you have a copy. So this young man at the library, like I was saying, was actually, I knew that something was off mentally. So I went close and I asked him, how can I help you? Well, see, the power in this story is that, so I am in a public library, random library. Whenever I went in there to do some work, I was in a conference room by myself.
Yes.
But for some reason, my laptop would not work. So I thought, okay, let me use a regular computer. But can I tell you that even that was a setup from God?
Yeah, that was. And you know, Miss Ogie, that is so true, because I had encountered that. You know, I do juvenile ministry, and I give out Bibles, a little pocket Bible to our young men in the juvenile center. And I was at a store, and one young man was bagging groceries, and he said, I know you. And I said, hey, I come here sometime. And he said, no, I know you from somewhere else. And then when they follow it up again, I know them from jail or the street ministry or something. And he said, man, I remember you gave me this Bible. He pulled out this Bible. And I said, I did not know the impact that these will make. By show of kindness, by encouraging, it goes a long way. You know, Miss Ogie, we may not ever meet these people, but just that short period of time, like you say, it was a setup, but it makes a difference in their life. Imagine what a young man would have been if God wouldn't have ordered your steps there. Imagine how those families would still be in disarray if they wouldn't have encountered you or heard about you and your ministry and the love that you share. Because some people can do things and not show love, but yet they know the sincerity of your giving and your caring. And you know what? As we do ministry, we pull so much into each individual case, but yet the next case is just as valuable. You know what I'm saying? Right. I know sometimes you get to the end of your rope, you say, hey, I need to get out of here, but somebody else come knocking on the door, get a phone call. But yet, you take time out and you minister to their needs. And not only minister, but you give them information they can use. And that is so true. Because, you know, we can share and pray for people. If we can't say, hey, you need to go over here and get you something to eat. You know, you need to go over here and get you a place to stay. Or if someone is hiring, prayer changes things, but also work. And I would encourage you, brother, after we finish praying for you, you need to get out here and go to work. Anyway, you know, not work, but you need to, you know, we need to let God order our steps. If you need a job, we're going to pray for a job. We're going to pray for you favor as you go to these jobs, not just any job, but God, a job.
But God, a day job.
Yeah, a day
you know
job.
What?
And that job you could keep.
Knowledge is power. Some, you know what? Some people just don't have the information.
Yes.
They just don't have the. They, in their heart, they want to do this and do that and the other, but they lack the right information. So sometimes just being there, having the right information, is what might be the key that the next person needs to get to their place of destiny.
Amen.
So my thing is being aware, having a discernment, because you might find yourself in a grocery store of all places. Even if you're there to buy food, you are there as an ambassador. Being aware, looking around and looking for someone that's in a need and meeting those needs. Sometimes it may not even come in form of money. It might just be a smile, a hug, a touch. It might just be all we need. What I saw God has told me which he keeps telling me is to be the Bible that the next person may read. There's something.
You know, I love that. I love that. I share with people. I said people will read you before they read the scriptures you quote with them.
You know, well, you're right about that.
And Miss, I tell you what, we need to pause here for a second. We got a couple of callers on the line. We're gonna bring someone in just to say hello to you and encourage you as you encouraging us.
Amen.
Hey man, this has been a great interview. Good morning, you're on the net.
Good morning, Mr. Joel. How are you?
Good morning there, Minister Flemings. Good morning there. We have a great guest on the line this morning, Ms. OG. And she's sharing with us her ministry, Christian Refugees Ministry at rockhavenwork.org.
Yes, yes. Good morning, Catherine. How are you?
Good morning, sir. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. And in such a cheerful mood, it's always good to hear and experience the grace and the mercy of God as he manifests his diversity in terms of the kinds of ministries that he uses to meet the needs of his people. I'm so glad to hear from you again about the things that God is doing and how he's blessing people. You know.
Amen.
Man, God bless you there, Minister Fleming. I tell you what, we got another guest that's coming up here, but we want Miss OG to have the last saying and to encourage us to be about our Father's business, because there's sometimes we look around and we see that the need is too great, but we have to realize we're not in this alone. We don't do anything alone. Our Father go before us and he prepares the way. So, Miss OG, Catherine, will you please give us words of encouragement before you get out of here, and also give us that contact number, because someone needs to come over there and experience this ministry in person.
All right. Well, what I have to say is that I feel like each one of us has been given a place in the kingdom. We've been given a ministry which is unique to us, because there are some people that only you, Minister Flemings, can minister that I really cannot touch, because I have not walked your walk. There are some people that only you can minister to that I cannot minister to. So, but the thing of it is to spend time alone with the Father as a host to direct our footsteps. I mean, you may not be called to be in the church pulpit. You may not be called to set up an established ministry. But whatever you know you've been called to do, you do it with all of your joy. Do it with your heart, because that is where God will reward you. You might just be called to just be the one to help take some elderly people to the appointment. That is a ministry. You may be the one to be called to go feed the homeless. That's a ministry. Whatever you're called to do, you do it with all sincerity of heart. And I said to myself, when I had my job, is once I can go home and lay my head on the pillow and say, you know what, God, I touched one person, my job is done. So I know I'm not going to touch everybody, but I feel like whoever comes my way that was in need, I was able to open my eyes and say, you know, hey, I see a need there. Let me meet the need. So my prayer is that each one of us, before we are called to go do it, before Jesus comes, we find our place in the kingdom. And whatever we are called to do, we do with all our heart.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you for those words of encouragement, because sometimes we grow weary, but yeah, we should not grow weary in well-doing. My hat goes off to you and your ministry. We ask you to continue to do what you do for the Lord, and we're looking forward to having you to be a guest on our program at a later date to kind of keep us up to date on what's going on with your ministry. Again, the name of your ministry and where you're located?
It's Rock Heaven Ministries. www.rockheavennetwork.org. Our phone number is 972-201-7668. When she calls this number, I will personally answer my phone, and I will talk to you.
Amen. God bless you. This has been a great interview. As always, you're always welcome. We ask you to go back and listen to this show on blogtalkradio.com/Granny Place, and you are on Free on the Inside. God bless you. Thank you. Have a great day in the Lord.
Thank you, Hugh Lewis. God bless you. Thank you.
Amen. What a great interview that we had that with Catherine Ogie, a Christian ministry for refugees. You know, she gave you some information, gave you a contact number. We ask you to follow up on that and just see what God will have you to do in such a time as this. We're going to go on with this program. We have another guest that's coming up here, Miss Norris, and she have a mobile asthmatic treatment ministry that she's going to share with us called Positive Breathing. And I love that. I love that. I love that. Positive Breathing, reaching into the needs of God's people. Say, amen. And this is what this ministry is all about. Now, at this time, we'd like to bring Miss Norris on, and she's going to introduce the ministry and tell us about how this ministry is making a difference in the community. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. My name is Shamar Norris, and my organization that I founded back in 2011 is called Positive Breathing Organization, and we reach out to the community, most undeserved communities, low-income communities, helping communities learn more about asthma. So our goal is to provide high-quality intervention for children. We do help some adults kind of with prescription medication needs and finding avenues that way, but we mainly deal with children who are diagnosed with asthma, and we try to increase their knowledge and increase their behavior as far as promote self-management and give them effective ways to manage their asthma. So we're really excited, and we've helped a lot of people since 2011, and it's just growing and growing, and as I say, getting better and better.
Amen, amen. And now, amen. As you see the needs of people that needing some treatment or some information, being educated, are you kind of set back with how people are taking asthma for granted and not really looking and trying to manage their cases?
I am, but, you know, what I've found out, I'm a respiratory therapist, and just in talking to families, you know, they get some information, and they get a piece of paper and they go home. And I think what we fail to understand is everyone can't read that medical language. You know, the healthcare clinicians can read it because we've gone to school and we've taken classes on how to read the words. But some of the words are very difficult, and people just don't understand, you know, into detail. They need it to be broken down in a lower language so they can understand. And so, you know, I don't always blame it all on the patients, but I'm finding out that people really just don't understand how serious asthma is. And so just by talking to people in the community and clients that have asthma, they've never been educated.
Are you kind of surprised that people don't realize that this treatment and these cases can be diagnosed right on site? Because, you know, a lot of times we say, well, we have to go somewhere else. But when you present your mobile asthmatic unit on different areas. Are people kind of blown away by just knowing that this type of treatment is available?
They are. So, you know, we can't exactly diagnose on site because we don't have a physician on site to diagnose. It has to you have to have a physician to diagnose, but we can give you the tools and the information that you can take to your physician and show him that, you know, you're experiencing these asthma obstructions, as we call, every day. And from there, he can diagnose you and help provide the medication and the treatment plan to treat you. And so a lot of people are not aware that, you know, you can have this done or answer even a questionnaire. There's even a piece of paper that's a questionnaire called the Asthma Control Questionnaire. And from there, it asks you several questions about symptoms that you may be experiencing. And from answering those questions, you can kind of determine whether you are experiencing asthma symptoms. So people just don't know that those tools are out there to help them.
Hello? Hello? Minister Lewis? Mr. Lewis, I cannot hear you on your side. I'm not quite sure what's going on. I don't know if you can hear me, but I can't hear you. It's as though the phone is muted or something.
Good morning, Miss Norris. Good morning.
Good morning.
I don't know what's going on here, but thank you for calling back in. We'll just continue to do the show without you.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know what happened.
That's okay. These things happen. I tell you what, we have someone that can edit anything that's undesirable in the program. So we're okay. We're okay. I tell you what, I was just sharing with our listening audience to go to your website and that you have some information. Now, we're going to continue our interview. Oh, man, I love this.
Wonderful.
You know, this is exciting, you know, because this is about our father business. And guess what? We may be shaken, but we're not pressed.
Amen.
Now, I had just came off of your website, and you have some services that's available. Will you please go through that and share with our listening audience the services that your mobile unit provides?
So on our mobile unit, you know, we go to health fairs. We provide education. We provide case management services. So if you have needs as far as for your asthma and you need, let's say you need a spacer or you need help with medication, and you cannot afford it, or you can afford it, but you can't afford all of it. So we offer avenues for people who need help, you know, to afford their medications. We actually go out to schools, and we do classes for parents and the students. We teach the parents about asthma, and we go through the causes of asthma, what triggers it. We talk about, is there a cure for asthma? Because most people don't know whether there's a cure or not. And the answer to that, just to kind of answer that today, is there is no cure for asthma, but it can be treated. And they're still, you know, investigating that. You know, they're still doing research on finding a cure for the disease. Also, we do asthma screening, and we provide asthma supplies. And so those are some of the services that we do offer the community.
You know, we was talking offline prior to this show about some of the treatment that was produced to us when we were a lot younger. And I'd ask you something about the inhaling type cures. You know, when I was younger, we had asthma in our family, and what we did boiling water over a pan with some maybe some Vicks ads or something in it. Would you share some of that with us, how we thought it might have helped at one time, and it may have helped? You know, we was talking about,
you know, I always tell people, you know, it may have helped. You know, some of these things may have helped. And, you know, you had to do the best thing you had to do back then with what you had. And so when we were talking about the boiling water, you know, I thought about, you know, the steam or the aerosol kind of treatment from the steam. And what the steam kind of does is help loosen
that mucus that's kind of trapped down in the lungs and makes it easier for a person to cough up. But, you know, we always tell people, you know, you might want to do your old school remedies, but you can, you know, follow what the physician says and do what the doctor says and add your old school remedies in with it, you know, to outcome and control your asthma. You know, a lot of people don't know that there's all types of things that trigger asthma, and one of the things is tobacco smoke or cigarette smoke, and a lot of these kids are in environments where their parents might smoke cigarettes, and they think because they smoke it outside the home, it stays outside the home, but, you know, it gets into your clothing, and you know, we call that third-hand smoke. You come in, and it's in your clothing, and you can still smell it. And so these things are, you know, triggers for kids who have asthma, and they're very sensitive, and it can cause an asthma attack.
Yeah. Now tell me now, based on your experience and knowledge, how many people are overcome by asthma a year? I know that number changes, but the last numbers that you heard.
So the last numbers I heard, just in the United States alone, there are 25 million people who have asthma. So 25 million people were affected with asthma, and they're saying about 16 million of those 25 million are children, are estimated to be children. So it fluctuates, you know. So the last statistics, you know, kind of say 25 million are in the whole United States are adults and children. But I want to say about 16 million of them are children. And so, and 4.1 million of those suffer from asthma attacks or an episode every year. Mm. So that's a high number of people not controlled with their asthma.
That is. And then we was discussing something also about the different stages and levels of asthma, because sometimes there's different things that trigger asthma. And you were saying that it was you gave me a clinical name for it, a different type of, I guess.
So there are different types of asthma. Yeah, there's, you know, what we talked about, exercise-induced asthma and allergic asthma. So the exercise-induced kind of happens just when you're outside running, doing any type of activity, exercising, playing sports, whether it's football, soccer, baseball, you know, you only have that shortness of breath or wheezing, which is that high-pitched sound when you're doing some form of exercise. And so people that have exercise-induced asthma can get treated by using their what we call quick relief inhaler, their MDI, 10 minutes before playing that sport, and you should feel some type of relief and not struggle through playing it. And then, you know, we have allergic asthma, which is kind of allergy-induced, and those come from, you know, exposure to allergens such as pollen, mold, animal dander, whether it's your cat, your dog, or even little hamsters, you know, you can be allergic to that. Feather, dust, and dust is everywhere. Food and cockroaches, the cockroaches can leave behind feces that people are allergic to, and so these things are what we call allergic reactions and allergic asthma.
Hey, man, you know, that's good to know that. And
yeah.
Also, and we'll share with some things also regarding about growing out of asthma, because sometimes, you know, elderly people say, you'll grow out of this here. Will you share something about that?
So, you know, we call that a myth, a common myth. You know, a lot of people think you can grow out of asthma, and asthma is considered a chronic disease, and it is a disease. You know, it's not something that's viral or bacterial that you can treat with an antibiotic and it goes away. It's an actual disease that you have to learn how to live with and control